Ed, could you turn on my light? Okay. Those of you who missed the church picnic yesterday, you missed it. It was fun. It was really neat to see Donna and Phyllis playing tackle tag, Red Rover, something or other that the Munga ladies had made up. I kid you not. These gals were lined up in two teams on either side, and they had to, I think they were making up the rules as they went along, but they would run across and bowl through a line of other ladies, tag somebody who was their teammate, and then the teammate had to run free, and now if they ever got stopped, they were done. But as long as they kept moving and bowling forward, I mean, I've seen football games that had less contact. And yet Phyllis and Donna, they're in there going around. I think Donna took a couple for the team. We had that, and believe it or not, we had food. We had lots of food. Typical church picnic, we had more food than we could eat because everybody brought extra, you know, just in case. And it was a beautiful day out in the park. And I just tell you that if we missed you, if you weren't there, and those of you who were there, I know we had a great time. Some of us just sat around in the shade. You didn't have to play tackle Red Rover. You could play volleyball. You could go out and go fishing. You could just sit under the tree on the bench and just chit-chat and eat more food. But no, it was fun. And this year was the Hmong's turn to take care of all the arrangements, and next year it'll be ours. So we need to be thinking about that. Even though it's it's 12 months away, it's amazing how fast those 12 months go by. And I do want to encourage as many of you to go as possible next year. It's a wonderful time. Just like if you weren't part of the float, and many of you were, or if you didn't get out to the parade, you just missed the event. It was really kind of neat. I got to sit in the fire truck on one side that we had pulling our float, and I just waved everybody. And it was amazing to just see people's faces light up. And they would see Northbrook Alliance Church, and they'd see the signs for Luis Palau, the Twin Cities Festival, and the VBS. And their faces would light up, and they'd give me thumbs up signs and say, yeah, and just be excited about the fact that we were promoting God. It was just kind of one of those neat things to be part of. And as Phil said, there's a lot of praises to be given for that. It was indeed a God thing. I do want to touch briefly about the counselor training. Remember, you have an insert that lists all the dates and locations for counselor training. But we, as a group, we would like to go as a group on Thursday, July 8th. We'll be going from 7 to 9 to Brooklyn Park Evangelical Free Church. If you'd like to carpool, we'll do that. We're going to plan on probably going out for maybe a piece of pie or a little snack afterwards too, because we want to maybe debrief a little bit and talk about the training that we went through and our plans for the Twin Cities Festival as a group. Now, if you can't go that night, please look at that list. Find another time when you could go. Because if you are interested at all in being a counselor for this festival, there are many people who will make first-time commitments and many more who will make recommitments to the Lord at this event. And when people make that type of commitment, somebody needs to come alongside of them like a midwife as they're birthed in the world and then help them through that process. And as they do so, one of the things that you'll do as a counselor is get information about this person. One, for yourself, so that you as an individual can follow up with them. You don't birth a baby into the world and just say, oh, bye. You make sure they're hooked up with some good parents. And that's what's going to happen after. But it's important that we have that training so that we do it right. Again, I would encourage you to be praying for the festival and praying for who to invite. You know, this is not the only way to lead people to the Lord, but it's a way that I think many will be led to the Lord, and it's the event that we want to take part in and take advantage of. And when the Lord gives you lemons, you make lemonade. When the Lord gives us a festival like this, we go party. Huh? If Christians can't have a good time, then they're not reading the Scripture right. Because we need to be celebrating the Lord and His wonderful blessings for us. And this will be a way for many in the community, the world around us, to see that Christianity isn't about, can't do this, can't do that, can't have a good time, you were baptized in vinegar. How many of you were baptized in vinegar? No, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I saw that hand, Christopher. I'll talk to you later. Okay. With that, let's turn to our scripture. Gospel of John. We're reading, Jesus has a prayer here in chapter 17. And last week we saw where he first prays for himself. This week we're going to be looking where he prays specific for his disciples. And next week it'll be for about all believers. We're going to start with verse 6. You can look up on the screen or you can turn to your own Bible. But it's Gospel of John chapter 17, beginning with the 6th verse. It said, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words, and you gave me. For I gave them words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them, and I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them, and I will remain in the world no longer. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, that I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your prayers. Lord, that you prayed for us as your disciples. Lord, that you prayed that we could be one with you and one with one another. Father, we ask right now that you would open up these words to our hearts and our minds. That you would show us how this can be lived out in our lives today. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to minister to us and give us understanding that is beyond that of man. but is of God. Father, we seek to follow you and the Son through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lead us now, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would touch me as I speak, that I would speak your truth and your words, not add to them or take away, and that the words I speak would bring hope and encouragement and direction to your children, those here who have received you as Lord and Savior, and those who will. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's kind of a long passage. And this particular section is a prayer where Jesus is praying in particular for the disciples. But let me read in the next part where he prays for all believers. That's you and I. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That would be you and I, right? "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am you." Okay. That they might be one. That the disciples might be one, and that then those who believe after would be one with the disciples and one with each other. So the words that he's praying, this prayer for the disciples, is also for us. I want to just make that point. Say, well, that prayer really can't be applied to us because he was praying it for the 12. No. This is something that can also be applied for us. Before, if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are a disciple. What is a disciple? A follower, a learner of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We would be a disciple. In fact, the command that Jesus gives us is indeed to disciple people. Go out and make disciples. That's the command that he's given them, and it's the command for us. But here in this prayer, Jesus talks about who the disciples are. That these were God's people. That they weren't of the world anymore. Well, who are they of then? We see in Ephesians that they're sealed with the Holy Spirit and they become citizens in the kingdom of God. They become members of God's own household. They're not citizens of the world. They're citizens of God's kingdom. We are not citizens of the world. We are citizens of God's kingdom. Jesus prays for the Lord's protection to be upon them, that the Father would protect them with His name. Just as the Lord has protected Jesus with that name. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of a scary form of protection, because the protection is not that one of being wrapped up in a protective bubble where the world can't touch you. The world can't impact you. Jesus had been hurt emotionally, spiritually. You see that he will be hurt physically. When we read through the scriptures, the shortest scripture verse is that Jesus wept. And why would he weep? Except that he had suffered hurt. So it's that protection isn't that we will not ever suffer hurt. That protection is that we wouldn't suffer damnation. That we wouldn't suffer separation from God for all of eternity. That the enemy wouldn't be able to pluck us out of the hand of the Lord. that once we're God's, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's it. We're His. We can't be removed. The enemy can't come in and steal us away like a thief in the night. Can't happen. But the other scary part here is verse 18. It says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. People, that is the scariest prayer I have ever read. And if it doesn't frighten you to the soles of your feet, you're not paying attention. Yes. The Lord's prayer is that we would be sent into the world just as He was sent in the world. How did the world receive Him? Rather poorly, we see here in just a couple of chapters. The Pharisees and the Sanhedrin had been seeking ways to kill Him. And we find that they find a way. We saw our Lord Jesus arrested, beaten, scourged, and then crucified. That was the reason that God sent Jesus the Son. God the Father sent Jesus the Son, God the Son, to the world. Was for that very purpose of sanctifying us through His being sanctified. Remember, sanctification is being the set apart holy work. There was and is no more holy work for us than the cleansing of our sin that Jesus did for us on the cross. He didn't endure that for His sins. He had none. He has none. We, however, cannot make that claim. At least not in and of our own righteousness. I can through the righteousness of Christ say I have been forgiven of all my sins, but I can never say that I've never sinned. Luckily for me, the Lord says that He forgets my sins. When He sees me and looks at me, He doesn't see my righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. The same for you. But the enemy was able to cause Jesus great harm through crucifixion. Now, he thought that he was winning a victory. But God knew that in that time that he was the one winning the victory. That in that sacrifice, that atoning death, he won. The enemy thought he was winning. But he wasn't. But yet, Jesus suffered. He hurt. But ultimately, he was safe. He wasn't going to hell. He wasn't going to suffer under the enemy for all of eternity. He was going to be with His Father. That's where He said He was going. He said, I am going to be with the Father. He knew where He was going. He just didn't mention or dwell on the point, let's say. He did mention it, but he didn't dwell on the point that he was going to do so going via the grave and via the cross, via forgiving us and paying for all of our sins. And as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Father sent the Son into the world for the purpose of redeeming and bringing salvation to the entirety of the world. That's the task given to the Son. And that in turn is the task the Son has given to us. He has sent us into the world with that self-same task. And we can expect the same level of protection that our Lord Jesus had and He enjoyed. That means that we can face pain and suffering as part of that journey. But we need to remember that ultimately that pain and suffering is temporary, transitory, moving on. And of very little in the overall perspective of eternity, because ultimately we are protected. When we've received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, we're His. That's the prayer that Jesus is praying. I am going to sanctify myself so that you might be sanctified, so that they might be sanctified, so that we might be sanctified, so that I might be sanctified. Sanctified, remember, set apart and holy for God is what sanctified is. Set apart and made holy for the use of God. So Jesus sanctified Himself, went to the cross, so that you and I may be set apart and used of God for the same purpose He sent the Son, that's leading the world to salvation. That's a scary task, a scary job. Because while the protection is there, the enemy can never take my soul. Doesn't mean he can't take my life. Doesn't mean he can't take my health. Doesn't mean he can't take my wealth. The Lord allowed such things to come against Job and many others. Satan has asked to sift us like wheat. In that sifting process, it's not always comfortable. It's like the refining process where we are conformed more and more into the image of Christ. It's not always comfortable. In fact, quite often it's not comfortable. But ultimately, we need to remember that none were lost. None will be lost who commit themselves to the Lord. The Lord receives as His own. The Son wasn't lost. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. So just as He was sent, He was also brought back. The sending does include the return. And just as the Lord sends us into the world, as He sent His Son, to share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus Christ, His salvation, that's for each and every man, woman, and child who would receive it for themselves, would believe on the work that Jesus did on the cross. That's it. He's ascending also includes the return, like a yo-yo. You send it out, and it comes back. In the Air Force, they send out a plane, they make provision for it to come back. When the Army sends out a force, they make provision. The plan is for it to come back. Now our Lord in heaven makes perfect plans. When He sends us out, He doesn't do so like tossing out garbage. We are very valuable to Him. So valuable that He sent His Son to die for us. It's incomprehensible. But yet, it is so. We need to be comforted by the fact that as He sent us out, He's going to bring us back. And we will be with Him in heaven for all of eternity. And this is the prayer that Jesus is praying, so that we might know the joy that He has. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. We should have joy that we get to serve our Lord in such a manner. We should have joy in knowing that we are going to be with God in heaven, and that should overcome each and every obstacle that we come against. Because we are never alone. Just as the Father sent the Son, He sent the Holy Spirit to be with Him. He has sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us, so we are not alone. He's sent us, yes, but He's not sent us alone. He's not just sent us, but He's prepared the way for us to return. So we should know the full measure of His joy. It's a lot to be excited about, a lot to be joyful there. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your prayers. Lord, help us to go as faithfully as You went. Lord, You did nothing that the Father didn't direct You to do. You said nothing but the words that the Father gave You. Lord, we seek to be so obedient ourselves. We seek to be so faithful ourselves. We seek to follow You. To go as You have sent us and to return as You have prepared the way for us, cleansing us of our sin so that we can have the Holy Spirit reside within us. And at that day, enter into Your very presence and be with You for all of eternity. Lord, might we know the joy that comes from that. Know that You've not left us out there hanging, as terrible as things might be, but that You have overcome the world. Lord, You told us, take heart. I have overcome the world. Lord, let us take heart. Let us be joyful, knowing that, yes, we will indeed have our adversity, but that through You we can and will overcome. And through You, we will be with You forever. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.